I'm going to give you some work to do. I'd like you for a moment, as much as you are able, from the waist up, to bend over forward and stay there. Now, look up. Don't stand up, just look up. And try to see everything that you can see. Get a sensation of your body. How is your breathing? What do you see? Now, slowly stand up straight, as tall as you can stand, your head floating on the top of your spine. Now be seated. Think for a moment what you just went through. Think for a moment how difficult it was just to see all around you. We're not outside, but I could ask you to try to look at the sky from that position. How difficult it would be. And yet the woman in today's gospel lesson was that way for 18 long years, Jesus said. Imagine trying to have a conversation with people. Imagine trying to go through your daily chores, your daily activities, and that's the way you had to do it. Imagine what this woman was going through. Jesus is in the synagogue, as we heard even in the opening chapters of the Gospel of Luke, which was his custom, we are told. He was an observant Jew. He was someone who followed the Torah. He was someone who followed all of the rules that were laid down. And so he was in synagogue, and he sees this woman. Now, it's interesting in Luke's gospel text, we do not hear the woman asked Jesus to cure her. She was simply there. Jesus spied her, saw her. Now, remember, too, that in the time of Jesus, as is often in some Jewish quarters today, the men and the women did not sit in synagogue together. In fact, the women in those days were behind a sort of grate, a rail, so it was not easy to see them. What was the point? And yet Jesus saw this woman and saw what she was going through, and it says in Luke's gospel, he called her over. So this is on Jesus' initiative, that he sees this woman. And like just for a moment, you may, in your imagination, begun to think about what life would have been like that. He immediately calls her over and says, "Woman, you are freed from your bondage." And he lays his hands on her, and she's able to stand upright, straight and tall for the first time in 18 long years. You were probably relieved to do it after just a few moments. Imagine what it would have been like for her. No wonder she began praising God immediately. And yet, the leader of the synagogue, pastor, as it were, the rector, looks about and says, not to Jesus, he doesn't confront Jesus, he does so indirectly by talking to everybody else there. He said, "Listen, you people, it's the Sabbath day. There are 6 days that you can do this kind of thing. Come back some other day to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." And there's a teaching in that. We're not saying that the man had no compassion. Not saying that at all, because he's basically saying, you can come and get cured. If God wants you to be cured, that's great, but not on the Sabbath day. Don't do that. See, because the Sabbath is a precious thing. And maybe in our day and age, we have kind of lost touch with that. That the Sabbath was instituted by God at the very beginning of creation. It is woven into the very fabric of the world, the universe in which we know it. We know the story from Genesis. We recount it every Easter at the Great Vigil, where we hear the story of the world being created in 7 days, actually on six, and then God takes a day of rest. Oh boy, this is hard work, all this creation. I don't think God needed rest. Creation was made for us and entrusted into our care, our stewardship. So too was this day of rest, this Sabbath day. God, realizing that a free people need to have time to be reconstituted, to be refreshed, to take time off from the burdens of everyday life. Modern people today, you know, we have all kinds of wonderful luxuries. We really do. One of them is the fact that we don't have, most of us at least, don't have the hard scrabble life of those ancient peoples where they had to work hard day after day, sun up to sundown, just to get by, just to raise enough food for their family, just to get enough for themselves and the people that they were caring for. God understands this from the beginning of creation, and he says, you need to rest. You need Sabbath. Because it's on that day, on that time where no work was permitted, it wasn't because God didn't like work. It was because he knew we needed it. And so he wove it into the very fabric of the world in which we live. Oh, and typically, human beings that we are, we like a certain amount of certainty about such things, don't we? We like to know when it starts and when it ends. We like to know, we have lists, what we can do and what we can't do. This was all worked out over centuries in Israel's history, what the Sabbath rules were. We even hear some of them today. Jesus says, you know, the law permits you to take your ox and your donkey to untie them from the manger and lead them to water. God knows they need to drink even on the Sabbath day. And actually doing was less work than having to schlep the water from the well somewhere else and bring all enough water for your beasts of burden. It was easier, actually less work, to untie them and to lead them to water and let them drink for themselves. So the idea was that it wasn't this kind of idea where nothing happens. But that's kind of what we decided that it would mean. Some of us, even on the Christian Sabbath, we bemoan the fact that, you know, back in the day, you couldn't, you know, go to the grocery store, you couldn't go to the mall, you couldn't do all those kinds of things. Oh, yeah, we're not a religious culture anymore. Well, we never were, really. But we at least had those props. You know, everybody doesn't keep the same Sabbath day. Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. In the Islamic world, Friday is Sabbath. In the Hebrew and Jewish world, Saturday is the Sabbath. What makes any particular day of the week sacred? Nothing really, except what we assign to it. And as Christians, we remember the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday, and so the Sabbath for us was moved from Saturday to Sunday. That's the only reason. It's arbitrary choice, actually. It isn't a divine choice. What is divine is the fact that there should be one day, one period of time, that we take rest, that we lay down the burdens of our lives, and that we lay them down so that we might be refreshed, so that we can be reconstituted, so that we can be strengthened again for the work that lies yet ahead. So it almost doesn't matter what day the Sabbath is, but that Sabbath exists in your life. Now stop to think about it for a moment. Maybe that's the purpose of what Jesus did for this woman. Because at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, we hear how Jesus' mission, that his life was to be dedicated to the liberation of captives for those who were bound. In fact, as the law comes down to Moses on Mount Sinai, the very first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God. I am the one who delivered you from the bonds of slavery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what Sabbath is really designed to do is for us to lay down our burden, to stop worrying about the things of this world and our own worries and concerns, and realize in a very real way that everything we have and that everything that comes to us comes from God. Everything. So for us to think that we have to keep working, and that if we do not do that, that somehow we are less than holy, is itself idolatry. It's placing these other things in our lives ahead of God. For God wants us to lay it all down on a regular basis, simply to realize that it all comes from God. And that we are but stewards of what we possess. So this woman comes in, stooped down, bound, Jesus says, tied up, as it were, for 18 long years. And it is on the Sabbath that he frees her. He liberates her. He removes her bonds, removes the oppression in her lives, brings her back to full stature, that she is able to stand up erect and straight and praise God for what now she sees all around her in a way she has not seen for a very, very long time. This is the gift that is given, and it is a Sabbath gift. It is thoroughly consistent with the Sabbath, because it is the work of liberation. It is the work of freedom. It is the work of taking that which is bound up and allowing it to stand up straight now, to breathe fully and to flourish. That is the purpose of Sabbath taking. And Jesus tells us then that our task is to do the same, is to liberate, is to free, is to bring health and wholeness to all we encounter. Now, there is a difference between being cured and being healed. Being cured is the removal of a dis-ease, a disease. Being cured is the removal of a chronic illness. Being cured is a restoration to a fullness of health. But when we really stop to think about it, healing is beyond that, because it does not deal solely with the body and our brokenness, but rather seeps down into the very fabric of our being, seeps down into our souls, seeps down into who we are, our identity, to help us realize that we are truly the children of God. And by that fact and that fact alone, we are truly free. That we are no longer bound by the oppressions of this world, that this world can impose, but rather, even in the midst of oppression from the outside, internally, we can always stand up straight. We can always praise God, even if no words are spoken. Healing is a change in perspective. It is the realization that what we have, broken as it may be, is from God. And as long as we recognize that, there is no taking it away from us. That our identity as the children of God is our innate dignity, and no one can steal that from us. Jesus says, you would not have me heal this woman, a daughter of Abraham? He uses that phrase specifically because it means that she is a child of God. In the Hebrew sense, she is one of the chosen. You would not have me heal her, he said. And interestingly, God says, and all who cursed him were ashamed because they began to realize that they were putting their human rules, they were putting their ways of this world over the ways of God. And in that, they were doubting God himself. Today, we come here to hear this story, the cure of Naaman the Syrian, the cure of this woman, but more importantly, we come here ourselves for healing, that our lives might be restored, which is a common and constant work of God in our lives. The grace of God is always within us. In a few moments, we will offer to you the opportunity to have hands laid upon you, the great gesture that Jesus used in today's gospel lesson. And if you wish, also to be anointed. Think of this, though, when you have that sacrament given to you. The oil will seep into your pores. You will notice that there is a slight odor to the oil, a scent of whole, of health, of wholeness, of health. Take that into your being. We will anoint your head and also the palms of your hands, and we will not be stingy. Take the oil you receive and work it into your skin, to remind you that that is the Spirit of God and how God's Spirit works in us, that the Spirit of God insinuates itself into our very fiber of our being. And with as the odor arises from your hands, to be reminded that a Spirit is with us always. And that Spirit is the power that brings us healing and wholeness and peace. It is the Spirit of Shalom. This is God's purpose for the Sabbath, to bring healing, release from suffering when necessary, but that we are God's instruments in that process. And that even the medicines and the miracle procedures and cures that we know in our hospitals and nursing homes, that those things, too, also come from God. And so today, we give thanks, even as we ask God to heal us, to make us whole, and to give us peace.